Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. So excited you're here, and today's episode is what should we call it? It's deep. We're going there today. So anyway, how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well. You know, it's Friday. Sun's out. I have some really nice wine for our recording session, so I am pretty jazzed. How are you?
I'm good. I'm curious what you're drinking over there.
I need to share it with you. I recently discovered it. It is not very expensive. So it was about $13, I want to say.
Hell yeah.
At like a grocery store, but I really love it. So it's called the Slow Press, and it has this like beautiful copper label on the bottle. It's a cab. 2016. We sound like we know what we're talking about.
I know.
I'm reading off my Vivino app, if anyone is curious. So Cab 2016 is from Paso Robles in California. And, you know, you and I like similar types of wines. It's like super dry, just like really strong notes, the peppery notes. So good. You have to try it if you can find it.
That sounds delicious. I am drinking a Chardonnay, actually. I needed a change from the deep notes of red. I needed a change. Mm-hmm. But this is quite refreshing. It's a 2019. I'm going to try to say it. It sounds like it's probably an Italian region, but it's called Tormaresca. I probably butchered it, but
my Italian job than most of us would do.
Also pretty cheap. And this was also, I believe this wine was also featured in one of the food and wine magazines for good cheap wines, which is just the best combination.
It really is. You know, I haven't tried a lot of Chardonnays. I would more so go for like a Sauvignon Blanc first.
Interesting.
But I should try it.
I have tried some Chardonnays that are just awful, like awful. Mm-hmm. And then I was with a good friend who loves a good Chard, as she calls it. And it was dry and crisp and refreshing. And I was like, I did not know Chardonnays could be less sweet, like, you know, like a dessert. This felt like more like a hydrating. I'm saying that
like juicy, like
a juicy wine. Anyway, so today's episode is called Thin Privilege. So we're just going to get into it. It might be messy, but, you know, hang in there with us.
Yeah, it might be a little messy. It's definitely a touchy topic, very sensitive. So we want to start off by just acknowledging, you know, Kat and I, neither of us are perfect, and here. Surprise. We want to learn, we want to grow. And, you know, we acknowledge that both Kat and I reside in small bodies and, you know, have most of our lives, but that does not mean that, you know, as healthcare providers, that doesn't preclude us from being allies. So
yeah,
that's what we're going to get into today. So let's give it a whirl. Kat, do you want to start us off by, let's like try to provide our definition, quote unquote, or kind of what we've gathered about thin privilege?
Sure. I think that it's important too for us to address this, because if we're going to be in the space of providing healthcare for other people, we have to acknowledge thin privilege. Okay, so let's start by defining thin privilege. This is kind of our version of the definition. We defined it as benefits that people who reside in smaller bodies receive solely based on their body size. So those benefits just extend to financial benefits, practical benefits like seating in public transport or clothes, or things that generally people who reside in smaller bodies don't really have to think about on their day-to-day lives, that people who have larger bodies do have to face every day. And as Kelly said, we are both have smaller bodies. This is not something that we have to live with every day, but we have to acknowledge that being part of a healthcare team, being somebody who provides healthcare, it is so important that we understand this privilege and we are aware of it, because people with larger bodies have a completely different experience, especially as it relates to healthcare and especially as it relates to nutrition. You know, somebody who is trying to seek a better health in the area of nutrition, these things are interconnected, and I definitely want to be very aware of thin privilege being something that I have and other people don't.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we do have it, and we have to be aware of it. And at the same time, we also have to be empathetic and, you know, be available, like just be open to learning about other people's experiences. And honestly, hearing like when clients, patients share things like that with us, like that's like we are receiving a privilege. Like the fact that they're opening up to us is huge. You know, that's a really vulnerable space to be in.
Yeah.
But in my experience, which I'm sure you can speak to as well, I feel like it helps us help the client more. Like if we're able to really connect like that and like open up with each other, then, you know, you and I are able to empathize more, even if we haven't personally, you know, had that experience ourselves.
Yeah, totally. Totally. We definitely have a lot of room to grow and learn and be a better ally. Someone who I feel obligated to bring up when we're talking about this is the phenomenal Christy Harrison. She is a anti-diet registered dietitian. She's a certified intuitive eating counselor, and she's a certified eating disorder specialist. She has a fantastic podcast called Food Psych. And I remember the moment I found her podcast and started listening to it. It was like around 2016 or something like that. And hearing her talk about it and provide language to a lot of the things I was already thinking about and somewhat feeling uncomfortable working in a field that was very weight-centric. And just listening to her was honestly, it was career changing, to be honest. She is also the author of a fantastic book called Anti-Diet, Reclaim Your Time, Money, Well-Being, and Happiness Through Intuitive Eating. She wrote this blog on her website, ChristyHarrison.com, about thin privilege. And I'm just going to quote her here. She states, "The term thin privilege is meant to highlight the systemic disparity and to call out the fact that dignity, respect, and equitable treatment shouldn't be privileges reserved for smaller-bodied folks at all. They should be universal rights afforded to everyone, no matter their size." And we unfortunately live in a world where racism exists, sexism exists, misogyny exists, and these benefits of being treated with dignity and with respect is not the same for everybody. And it's just part of the conversation when we think about how some people benefit from thin privilege and they don't have to think about certain things, and how other people do not. And I believe this is a good start to begin this conversation and learn more. So we will definitely add her stuff, her book, and her website to the show notes at the end, at the bottom of this episode. So be sure to look out for that.
Mm-hmm. She has, we will also put it in the notes. In addition to her book, you know, she has a website, of course, with a ton of information on there. Really good resource if you're looking to learn more about this space. She has an article that's titled What Thin Privilege Really Means. And in that, she speaks to, just like so eloquently, the fact that, you know, the movement of, maybe not movement's the right word, but the notion, like having this awareness of thin privilege, is not to say that, you know, thin people don't struggle with body image, or that thin people, you know, don't experience maybe some aspect of this, right? They mm-hmm. feel uncomfortable in their body. Maybe there's disordered eating, you know, behaviors, like those things can still exist. But really what we're talking about is highlighted in the quote you just read, that this thin privilege is very much tied to like your experience in the external world, like what privileges, what benefits, like what do you get just for the size of your body? Like, what do you exactly. not have to think about solely because of the size of your body? And, you know, we all have different experiences with that.
Yeah.
So when we look at some of, like, let's just take the practical stuff, like mm-hmm. clothing, for example. You know, someone in a smaller body could walk into a store, maybe have a much easier experience in terms of like finding something that they want to wear, that they feel good in. And then people who might reside in larger bodies, you know, are going to have a different experience at that store. They might not be able to wear something they want to wear because of how they feel in it. They might, you know, be on the receiving end of like prejudice and just like straight up stigma from employees, or like even just other customers in the store, if they're like trying on clothes and other people are around them, you know, or even if it's not overt, the person might just be thinking that, they might be fearing that that's what's happening. And that has a huge mental drain, you know, and very much affects their experience shopping for clothes or buying clothes or like tailoring clothes, right? Needing to adjust something you buy so that it fits you and you feel comfortable, because most clothing manufacturers make clothes for a certain body type. It's not mm-hmm. for all body types. Like, mm-hmm. and it's getting better, I think. But on the whole, it's easier to find clothes, you know, that you like if you reside in a smaller body. So that's like a practical example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can think of, you know, being on, being a registered dietitian and working in healthcare. I'm sure you, Kelly, have experiences where somebody who has a higher BMI comes in, and you can just tell by the language, by the way that they're treated, that they're being treated differently because of their size. I have a very horrifying story. So if you reside in a larger body and you've experienced some trauma, maybe skip the story.
I'm going to take my time telling the story just because of how horrifying the story was. So I was a brand new registered dietitian working in an inpatient facility. So I had to see some people because of various nutrition related reasons, but I also got consulted by doctors, as most registered dietitians who are working in a clinical setting are. And I got consulted to see somebody for weight loss with a BMI of over 40. It was a woman who came in with multiple issues, with multiple medical conditions happening. And the main complaint, the chief complaint, was difficulty breathing. So I go in to go see her, and there are a lot of people hanging out right outside this patient's room, and they're laughing. And I'm trying to find out what's so funny. As a brand new dietitian, I wanted to build rapport. I wanted to get in on the joke. I kind of wanted to build relationships. And if you're a clinical dietitian, just like really any other healthcare provider that works in that setting, part of your job, in order to be good at it, you have to be more visible. You have to let people know who you are. It creates better relationships. And if people know that there's somebody who might need you, a patient who might need some assistance with nutrition, they can sort of stop you in the hallway and call you over. So it's a great thing to do if you're a professional working in the clinical setting. So I come up and I'm very naively just sort of like, what's so funny, you know? And the doctor who consulted me to come see this patient was laughing. And he says, you're the dietitian, right? I fit the profile for what dietitians look like. So I'm like, yes. And he says, in a very casual tone, she claims she hasn't been able to eat very much, so good thing she won't be eating here. To which I had no words to say to that, because at this point I hadn't really met her. But how could you say that as a doctor taking care of her? So I turn around and I go see her, and she is this very sweet individual, and she's telling me she has not been able to eat solids for almost 3 weeks because she's having a hard time swallowing. And add that to the multitude of things that were going on with her. So I was able to work with the speech therapist, who was phenomenal and nothing like the attending or the people laughing outside her room, who were in earshot, by the way. I mean, she probably could have heard this ridiculous and inhumane remarks from this doctor. But I partnered with the speech therapist. We got her in to get a swallow evaluation to see if what was going on, along with every other testing that she was getting done. She eventually got transferred out of my unit, and I believe that the attending who was following her was no longer part of her care. But it was a shocking experience for me. I think now that I'm older and I've worked in the clinical setting for a longer time, my response would have been different. I wish I had more words to say to these horrifying care providers, but I didn't, because I didn't know that people could be so crass, so cruel, so inhumane, and these were people taking care of this wonderful woman's health. It was horrifying. It was horrifying.
I mean, so much of our healthcare system is very much weight centric, which we've alluded to in earlier episodes. I mean, if we think like the time that you and I spent in clinical when we were working at the same hospital, the number of consults that would come through on the printer in the morning solely based on someone's BMI. So like patient obese, right? BMI 30.5, which BMI is a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a future episode on. But they're taking this arbitrary number, which is a calculation of your height and your weight. Nothing else is taken into account. And they're just sending us automatic consults, like to go talk to this person and essentially convince them that they should lose weight, regardless of what they're there for.
Like, yeah.
And most of the time they are not there for something related to that. Like that's not the space that they're in. They're not going to the hospital to talk to a dietitian to lose weight. Like what an inefficient, just like straight up wrong system. Like,
yeah,
I'm getting a little heated just thinking about those.
I know. Like, it's awful. It makes me so sad and angry. It makes me so sad and angry that this is the way that people in larger bodies are treated within the healthcare system, because they mm-hmm. are seeking healthcare just like anybody else. And they could be in the hospital bed, unable to breathe. And yet here am I I'm going to show up with my little white lab coat and be like, sir, your doctor wants me to talk about this.
No,
I can't breathe. Like, I need oxygen. Right. That is what I need. I also think about how some symptoms or just in general complaints or things of concern that an individual might bring up in a doctor's office or hospital setting, wherever, how different those symptoms might be taken. And we know this to be true if it's a woman versus a man and mm-hmm. they're talking about pain, or if we're talking about people of different skin tones or colors or cultural backgrounds or all that. Like, we know this happens, but being a dietitian, I know that when somebody in a larger body comes into the doctor's office and they're coming in to show like, hey, I have a weird rash in my arm or a mole, mm-hmm. and I'm worried that there's something really wrong with me, the conversation sometimes completely centers around weight loss and not truly addressing why the actual patient came in to seek healthcare. And that boils my blood faster than anything. Like, mm-hmm. this person is here talking to you about their actual concerns, and this doctor, whoever it might be, is asking me to make this conversation about weight loss because he or she believes, the doctor, that is the most important part of this discussion and mm-hmm. not what the actual patient is trying to address. And that shit just makes me so angry. Mm-hmm. Makes me so angry.
And therein lies the privilege, right?
Yeah.
Like a person in a small body could go to their physician for a mole or whatever it ends up being, and they don't even have to worry about, you know, being weighed, right? Like, for a lot of people, just the thought of having to weigh in at a doctor's office is like so anxiety provoking, which is understandable, right? Because yeah. you know that it could potentially lead to that like derailment of your care. Like,
exactly.
You took time, you took money to go to your doctor about something you're concerned about. Oh, you're right. My blood is boiling. Like, just as we talk about it.
You paid for the appointment. Yes. Right. Yes. I know.
You took time off work. You drove there. You found parking. Like, it's just a whole thing. But that's, before I got sidetracked, as I was saying, like, that therein lies the privilege, because someone in a small body does not have to, you know, think about those things. They don't have to worry about them. That's likely not going to be something that they experience, you know, when they're trying to seek healthcare.
Yeah, it is awful. And I, as a dietitian, I think, you know, you and I started our private practice. That was one of the first things we talked about, of like, how fucked up is it mm-hmm. that we got so many consults and this was the center of the conversation, and we know that this is an actual fake solution. It's like a solution right. that they think it's going to work, but it's actually not. So when we started our practice, one of the first things we decided was, well, we want to make it optional if people want to talk about their weight or they don't want to talk about their weight. And I love to be the kind of provider that's, you know, has that option, because not everybody understands that just a number could derail a whole appointment, can cause somebody extreme anxiety, can make them feel really bad about themselves, really good about themselves. It could just like have a massive impact. And I remember talking to somebody and telling them like, oh, we, you know, if you don't want to talk about your weight, we don't have to. And they're like, but you're a dietitian, you know, but like, how could you do this without, I think the important point here to make is that health is not just about that one damn number. Mm-hmm. And so can we please stop focusing, hyper-focusing on that number?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in addition to that, sometimes I have heard from other people, you know, when they're listening to like non-diet or anti-diet stuff, right, in the beginning, they're like, oh, well, you know, then weight just, you know, it's, you can't talk about it. Like you just cannot talk about it. And I want to debunk that because of like weight is on people's minds. Absolutely. And we're not going to shut that conversation down, but instead of, you know, letting it lead the conversation and dominate and just pretending like that's the end all be all, you know, we have a safe space. Like if that's something that someone wants to talk about, wants to bring in, then that's okay. If they don't want to, that's also okay. Like,
yeah,
there are a lot of things that we can talk about and we don't need to talk about weight. Like we can certainly help someone get healthier without ever talking about that.
Totally. Totally. Something also I want to bring up is the fact that we are in this space of intuitive eating. We absolutely love the concepts of intuitive eating and finding food freedom. And I would acknowledge too that having somebody that is in a smaller body that does benefit from thin privilege, having that kind of like benefit in this space of nutrition where I'm telling you like, enjoy your foods, you should honor your hunger, you should, you know, eat the fun foods and enjoy them. As somebody who might not fit that, you know, smaller body description or benefit from thin privilege and looking into that might be sort of like, well, you don't know what I'm going through in my experience in life. And I would acknowledge to say, yes, like I don't know what you're going through. And I think Kelly and I have tried to, maybe we're overcorrecting, but we really try not to make our bodies very visible on social media, or just our faces are not really on there very much, which is something we're working on. But just because we want to decenter ourselves, to not fall into that trap of like, look at my body. If you eat what I'm telling you to eat, you could look like me. Because health looks all shapes, sizes, and colors. And we definitely want that to be the message and not to be very centered on what my body looks like or what a thin person and showing a thin person and saying that is what health looks like, because that is not true.
Mm-hmm. And I would add to that, that we feel, you know, it is better as healthcare workers, right? It's better for us to speak up, like to discuss this, even if we do it imperfectly. Like it's better to do it that way than to just pretend like none of this exists. So this episode is one of our efforts to try to do that and just, you know, address it and let people know that, like, yes, we reside in small bodies. Yes, we know that. But we also know that we can help other people regardless of the shape or size of their body. And, you know, that's what we're here to do.
So when Kelly and I were looking through some of the resources out there before this podcast, I realized that there's so much more for us to learn. So many more ways to be a better ally, to be a better healthcare practitioner, following people on social media and reading their books, their essays, and listening to podcasts about this topic. it helps me to understand their experience better. It gives me language to be able to address things, because as a registered dietitian, I'm in a position sometimes of more power, right? You come to me as a healthcare provider. I'm an authority in nutrition. I want to be able to be a good practitioner, a good registered dietitian, and give you the space to make you feel safe, no matter what size you are, no matter what background, no matter what, you know, I want to be able to be, to have the appropriate tools to be the best RD that I can. And I think that thin privilege, just in general, it's a good place to start, but there's definitely a lot more to do.
Mm-hmm. So we will gather, we'll list out some of the resources that we've been loving, you know, recently. We've already talked about Christy Harrison. She has a lot of good information out there, podcast, books, Aubrey Gordon, which we were just reviewing, you know, speaking of language, right? We were reading about how she was discussing the language around fat phobia, and she was advocating to moving to the language more of anti-fatness. And so there's great information out there on the internets to kind of learn about her process, like what she's thinking, you know, when she's talking about that language.
I absolutely love Aubrey Gordon. She recently told us what her name was, because before she went by Your Fat Friend, and I did follow her, and it was such a mystery to find out who she was. She's gorgeous. She's so well-spoken. She has her own podcast, and oh my goodness, if you just want to hear somebody be candid about this topic, really all topics, they cover a lot of topics. She has a guest. I forget his name.
The co-host, Michael Hobbs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a great podcast. Love Your Fat Friend account. It's a great one to follow.
Yeah. And the podcast is called Maintenance Phase. Mm-hmm. We'll put that in our notes.
On our show notes that we keep talking about that we don't know how to do. We're just copying other podcasters.
Yeah, we hear people say, right? That, so we're gonna figure out how to do it.
Of course. There's also Lindo Bacon.
I should say Dr. Lindo Bacon. Dr. Bacon is an intersectional body liberation advocate. Dr. Bacon was also the author of a very popular book. It's a bestseller called Health at Every Size, The Surprising Truth About Your Weight. And most recently, the author of a new book called Radical Belonging, How to Survive and Thrive in an Unjust World While Transforming It for the Better. Wonderful account. Great book if you're interested. A good person to also follow. The Instagram, I believe, is just Lindo Bacon.
Some other ones. I've heard Brianna Campos speak on several podcasts recently. She is amazing. Like, she gives such good insight. Like, she's so well-spoken. So she's a body image advocate. I think Instagram handle is Body Image with Brie. So another good resource to check out.
Totally. So in going through and having this discussion, which, you know, when we got into the topic of thin privilege, Kelly and I felt like, gosh, we have got to do a podcast about this. One of the things we kind of wanted to both walk away with after this conversation is, how can we collectively do better? Because there are many ways we can just improve and do better. And one of them, and probably the easiest one or easiest to put into practice immediately, is to refrain from commenting on other people's weight. It's just inappropriate, just in general. And I, you know, I'm Latina. I think culturally I can speak from, at least for my family or culture, we love to comment on people's appearances. It's ridiculous. We love calling people, you know, the little one, the tall one, the fat one, the small one. Like, we use those words liberally, and people comment on other people's weight all the freaking time. And as a dietitian, I get really angry about that because you never know what's happening in that person's life that may have caused the weight fluctuation. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen it where I know somebody's struggling with an eating disorder and they lose weight and people are raving about this weight loss. Like, you look fantastic and give me your tips. I've also seen somebody who suffers from, you know, Crohn's disease or some GI issue where they've been literally on the brink of death and have had to have resections and all this complex journey in the hospital to survive. And in that process, they've lost weight. And then they come out and people are like, oh, give me your tips for weight loss. I mean, it is just so wildly inappropriate to comment on weight because we just don't know. We just mm-hmm. don't know. And it's not necessary. And it doesn't help anybody. And I know some people think that they might be complimenting other people, like, oh, you look, but there are other ways. There are other ways we can compliment people and make them feel great.
Weight, I love your sweater. Where did you get that?
Exactly.
It's great. It looks so good on you, right? So many other options.
Yeah. It's, we cannot boil it to, you look like you've lost weight. You look great. Or like, you look skinny. You don't know what you're reinforcing, what you're commenting on, or the opposite of like, oh, it looks like we've gained a few pounds or whatever. Not needed, really not needed, uncalled for. It's just extra. It's extra. Mm-hmm. Let's just mm-hmm. get rid of that collectively. Like, I'm calling out right. Latinos in here collectively. let's not do that.
Let's move on. Yeah. Another, in addition, you know, to following and supporting people in the anti-fatness space, so some of which we went through already, I would throw out, you know, whatever size or shape body that you reside in, if you're going to the doctor and you're just like not feeling it that day, like maybe you're just having a bad body image day, which happens to, I don't know, everyone I know, like myself included. If you're in that space, you know, say to your provider, I would like to opt out of the weight today. You know, I don't want to be weighed today. Thank you. Thanks. No, thanks. Take me to the room, right? Like, just try it. Because in my experience, when people have done that, I have never heard a patient or a client tell me that it backfired. Like that they said, no, you must be weighed today, right? It's just kind of like standard practice. And it's not something providers often think about. Like, what is the ramification of this for the patient? So just throwing that out there, that is an option, you know, totally. That you can do on those days.
And if your healthcare provider does not oblige or wants mm-hmm. to make the conversation about your weight and you do not want to have that conversation, just say, thank you. Next. It's not needed. Okay. Move on. Let's find a weight inclusive. Somebody who isn't so freaking narrow-minded.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Play the song. If you don't want to say it, just play the
Ariana Grande.
Super hip.
I was just about to call her Riri, but that's Rihanna. Oh my God. I think I would have been crucified as a podcaster if I confused both nicknames. I think, well, maybe I'm not even going to pretend like I know what Ariana Grande's nickname is. I think it's Ari, actually.
I do not know, but I love that song. I do know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, there are better people to take care of your health than those who completely ignore your wishes and ignore mm-hmm. your health, because mental health is part of the conversation of health. It's part of health. So right. if we're ignoring mental health, the anxiety that it might induce to be ignored, to have to face the weight loss conversation, you know, just you deserve better.
Mm-hmm. And I'll end with this, which I think it's important to add, is that if you're somebody who works in healthcare, if you're a healthcare provider, if you're providing any service, particularly within the medical field, if you see the horrifying behaviors that are involved in anti-fat bias, especially behaviors kind of like the one I talked about in my horrifying story in this episode, we have to call that shit out. It has to be us who talk to these people and tell them that their anti-fat bias is getting in the way of providing adequate care. It just is. And it is unacceptable. Bring me away. That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Thank you so much for listening, you know, to us speak about this topic today. We were really excited to do this episode. I hope we did it justice. Whether you agree or disagree with something that we said today, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us, obviously, our website, www.newtriving.com. We'll put that in the notes. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest as well. You can leave a review for this podcast, Dietitians Uncorked. We'd love to hear from you. Again, as I said, whether you agree or disagree with something that we've said, we are just trying to kind of open the conversation and, you know, move things forward. So, we appreciate you being here, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.